The title of my offertory is Being Generous Towards God. And hopefully as I go forward, you will get the specific points that I'm trying to make. Whenever I speak on a subject that I know or understand, I really try to do just that, to bring it from the heart and something that I've experienced, whether it's something that I'm perhaps a little embarrassed about and in terms of my learning. When I first felt God's hand in my life, and I know everyone has their remembrance of that in their lives, I realized how much that I really did not understand about Scripture and about the Bible. It was not something that I was raised with specifically. But when God's hand came on me and opened my eyes, began to open my eyes, I did have a new clarity overall with respect to verses that previously were very, very puzzling to me. But still, it seemed like I was standing at the shoreline of the ocean looking out into the sea that I could neither grasp nor comprehend the immensity of it, nor all that was contained in it. And that's exactly how I felt. But I trusted that God would hopefully bring me along. Now, how does this relate to this offertory message? Previously, I did not understand that following God and his son required certain things of a person who has been called. Faith, yes, belief in God's majesty and his creation of all things, that is essential to our trust and our faith in God. Obedience, of course, is another absolutely vital part. We know that. And as we know, Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill that. To fulfill the law. And that's something that, again, we have to bear in mind when the world talks about different elements of belief. God's expectation of his followers is that they do obey him, his commanded Sabbath, his feasts and holy days, and the law as embodied in the commandments. That's very clear. God also commands that when we come before him on his prescribed holy days, that we come with offerings to him, that we do not come, as we all know from year after year and observing the feasts, that we do not come up empty-handed. From all that we possess derives from God. We know that. And I'm embarrassed, this is where the embarrassment comes in, to say that before I was called and Shelley was observing as a member of the church, I thought I was helping Shelley in her observance of basically our offerings and our tithe, if we would call it that at that point. But honestly, I was cheap with God. I assumed that what I thought we could give as tithe and as offerings would be acceptable. Basically, I had my thumb on the proverbial butcher scale, and I think one of our ministers referred to this not very long ago in a sermon. But I also recall my dad in our neighborhood growing up, despite being in New York City, it was a very small little neighborhood, and we had just a specialized butcher. And I remember my dad describing to me in a joke with the butcher that some unscrupulous butchers would have their thumb somehow skillfully placed on the scale, raising up the weight of the meat that you were buying, that hamburger meat that you were buying for dinner. And each extra dollar unfairly charged was a feather in his pocket, right? Or was it? But I never thought that that's what I was doing with God. And now, as I think, but as God commands, that's not what he was expecting of me. Now turn with me now to Deuteronomy 25. We're reading in the New King James Version. So Deuteronomy 25, and we are going to be reading verses 13 through 16. Again, Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16. You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord is giving you. For all who do such things and all who behave unrighteously are an abomination to the Lord your God. And God was referring to how weights and measures were calculated back in the day. And then there were some unscrupulous people like that butcher who perhaps used a differing weight. And actually just heard on the news not long ago that something like this was unearthed in Jerusalem. And it was a stone that was one of the incorrect weights. That is what precisely God is referring to in our lives. As believers, we are to trust him. Going back to my embarrassment, it was not up to me to decide how much we could or I could afford to be quote unquote generous. He is asking, when we think about it, God is asking for a fraction, a true fraction of what he has blessed us with in the first instance as we earn, as we've earned our wage. And God asks so little. And when we think about it, what God asks us of us is really so very small compared with our days and with the blessings he gives us over time. Again, staying in the New King James Version translation, let's read Malachi 3 together. Returning to Malachi 3, and we're going to be reading verses 8 through 10. Malachi 3, 8 through 10, and it's entitled, Do Not Rob God. And again, the theme is emerging very clearly. Reading in verse 8, Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Continuing in verse 10, Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the window of the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. God is not telling us, hey, use your judgment. Give what you want. Of course, we have to think about our own financial situation. But God has prescribed what we're supposed to do. He is commanding us to tithe, and he has set the amount and the amount that we are to set aside for our holy day arrangements and sustenance, so we are not scrambling at the 11th hour, as I often left our family in the midst of, trying to fit the Feast of Tabernacles and all that commanded holy day offerings into our budget. Should have been the other way around. He sets our budget, and if we trust in him, as my wife always said, the math always works out. And no, it's not the new math that we're not allowed to help our kids with in school. But it is God's math, and it does work out, and I have been amazed at the blessings. And reading, finally, in a final scripture in the New King James Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9, and in verses 6 through 8, and this really does capture, I believe, what we should be about in our business, in our relationship with God and what he asks of us. And it's entitled, just as the previous was entitled, Do Not Rob God, this is entitled, The Cheerful Giver. Reading in verse 6, But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So again, as we face just the very, very beginning of our feast days together, and we consider our offerings and we consider our tithes going forward, just bear in mind what God is commanding of us and not what man is commanding or suggesting we should do.